This is the shocking death of Ariki Rigby. Her family is waiting for answers, and we want to help. Trigger warning, this video discusses graphic details of a crime and may not be suitable for sensitive viewers. Crime Stoppers is 0800 555 111 and is anonymous. File number 220905/1265. Please ring if you have any information. So first, I thought we would take a quick look at where we're talking about. And we're going to be talking about a tiny little town here called Havelock North. So let's have a read about this. Havelock North, which in Māori is Te Himo a Te Atonga, is a town in the Hawke's Bay region of the North Island of New Zealand, situated less than 2 kilometres southeast of the city Hastings. The suburb, known locally as The Village, is situated on the Heretonga Plains, less than 2 kilometres to the southeast of Hastings. It is surrounded by numerous orchards and vineyards, and its industry is based around its fruit and wine production and a horticultural research centre. The fertile soils that lie between Havelock North and Hastings has prevented urban sprawl linking them together. Havelock North itself is primarily residential and rural residential housing, with only a relatively small and compact industrial and commercial centre. As a result, a large majority of its 13,000 residents commute each morning to the nearby cities, Hastings or Napier, for work. Havelock North is hilly and with small gullies that have been formed by the creeks and streams flowing from higher ground, resulting in a small amount of inaccessible or steep land, which is converted into forests, parks or reserves. This is due to the town being situated at the base of the prominent landmark Te Mata Peak, a 399-metre outcrop, which according to local Māori legend is the body of the giant Te Mata o Rangikoko, and the depression in the land visible behind his head, according to the myth, is where he tried to bite through the mountain range, which filled his stomach, turning him to stone. Really interesting. So if we have a look here's Havelock North, and they did say that because it is such a small place, a lot of people would go over here for work into Hastings or something else. This is River Road. This is what I could find, and this I think somewhere along this road along here on one of these no exit streets or little things here is going to be the site that we're going to be talking about. This is newsbeezer.com. Ariki Rigby from Napier has been identified as a victim of murder in Havelock North. The woman whose body was found in a burned out car in Hawke's Bay has been identified as Ariki Rigby. The 18-year-old's body was found around 10 a.m. on September 5th in an abandoned car near River Road, a country lane with no exit on the outskirts of Havelock North. Police have since launched a murder investigation. Police saying, "Our thoughts and sympathies are with her family and whānau. Police and victim support will offer them, obviously, support at this difficult time." Flowery tributes were left at the Havelock North site where Ariki's body was found last Monday. Rigby was reported missing last Thursday, and police said they had been working very close with her family since then. Due to the condition of the vehicle and the debris from the fire, police did not immediately determine there were human remains in the cab of the car. Instead, the body was dismissed as that of a sheep. It was only when police were called to the scene again 2 days later by a Hastings dog warder or a dog walker that a follow-up revealed suspected human remains. Several family members shared a statement on social media thanking those who had shown love and concern in their efforts to find Rigby. However, it is with our deepest regret we inform you that our beautiful girl in that burned out car in Havelock North has been identified as Wahine, which is female. We respectfully ask for space and patience while we mourn. They asked anyone with information about her death to contact Hastings Police Station in connection with what has come to be known as Operation Sphinx. The car park on River Road near Havelock North, the burned out vehicle was a dark grey, mid-1990s Toyota Corona. It believed to have pulled up into the parking lot sometime between 10 p.m. on September and 7 a.m. on September 3. Police said in the statement they were following a number of investigative lines but continued to appeal to the information for public. Again, anyone with information, you can call Police 105, Crime Stoppers 0800 555 111, that number 220905/1265. I'm going to have that information in the description box below should you need it. This article was September the 13th, 2022. Let's go to the next one. This is 247newsaroundtheworld.com, and don't ask me how I find the sources and find the articles that I do. But alas, sisters moving tribute to slain Hawke's Bay teen Ariki Rigby at her funeral. We are going to live for you. Just it looks like a beautiful funeral. Police returned to the scene of the body and car discovery in the Hawke's Bay homicide investigation. The family of slain Hawke's Bay teenager Ariki Rigby have vowed that we are going to live for you at a moving farewell to her in Hastings. About 700 people packed the Ascend Global Church on Friday morning for Ariki's funeral, and those there to mourn her told the nation was grieving with them. The ceremony was described as a celebration of life, just under 2 weeks after a car in which her body had been shoved in behind the driver's seat was torched in a car park on the outskirts of Havelock North. And I'm not even going to pretend I know how they're feeling. I'm not going to pretend how I would feel. I just can't. The casket carrying Ariki, who would have turned 19 at the end of this month, sat at the front of the church covered with flowers. A photo montage played on the screen showing a young woman with a beautiful smile and zest for life. Ariki was one of 9 siblings, and a handful of her siblings and her father gathered on stage to pay tribute to their beloved daughter and sister, with sister Anaheda Rigby bravely speaking on their behalf. She said this was a very difficult time for the family, but Ariki would want them to be strong. "We are going to overcome this. We are going to live for you," Anaheda said. "We are going to live and smile and be happy because you will be telling us this." She's beautiful, isn't she? "Every time I called you, that is what you would say. You would pick me up every time I called you." She recalled how Ariki would give her shirt off her back or necklace off her neck to help someone. She also recalled with a smile how her sister would also cheekily ask for something in return. "We loved her very much. It's a love-hate relationship with your sister, eh? Everyone that knows that my sister was hard. She was a hard woman, but that was why we loved her. We loved her for who she was, every bad and every good. We have so many cherished memories that we could share about her, but it is so hard to talk about her life when we would just like to have her right here with us." She said the entire family was staying strong for her. "Our family is all together just like you would have wanted, sister." She was remembered as a beautiful sister and daughter, as well as spontaneous during the service. The funeral procession began earlier in the day when a gathering of about 30 people, including 20 riders, met at a service station in Napier, about 9 a.m., which is must be all these guys. They then rode to Ōreki's family home and escorted her and her family to the funeral. The ride was dubbed Aroha for Ōreki. Ōreki's cousin, Michael Nahuka, who is a pastor in Hawke's Bay, helped open the funeral service, stating, "This is a tragedy." He called for people to wrap Ōreki's family with love and spoke of the tributes which had flooded in the community from the community. He also prayed that those that were suffering would know the peace that surpasses all understanding, which comes from God, and for justice for Ōreki. We, the community, want to say we love you. We, the nation, say we live with you today and we want to embrace you. He also called on anyone close to the perpetrators to speak up. I hate this. Hate is a strong word, but for this occasion, it is not strong enough. It is gross. It is inhumane. It is traumatic. This is pure evil. This is demonic. A police representative was initially down to speak at the funeral and included in the program, but Nahuka confirmed police would instead be speaking privately with the family. The service ended with a rousing haka. Nahuka on Thursday told whoever is responsible for the 18-year-old's death that you reap what you sow. Her family also released a statement this week saying the teen would be forever loved and missed, while also urging anyone with information about this very horrendous situation to contact the police. They said that Ōreki was beautiful, energetic, bright-eyed, and someone who lived life full throttle. The 18-year-old's body was found by a dog walker in a burnt-out car in the rural Havelock North car park on September 5, 2 days after the police had initially checked out the wreck. At first, the case was treated as an unexplained death before being upgraded to a homicide investigation late last week. Police confirmed on Tuesday that the body found in the car in the Riverside Road Recreational Reserve's gravel car park was that of teenager Ōreki. Officers were first alerted to the wreck on the morning of Saturday, September 3rd, but they did not realise that burned remains inside it were those of a human, instead believing they were of an animal. And I can't understand, and I can't believe that that could happen, basically. Detective Inspector David DeLonghi said this week police had made good progress on the investigation, but still wanted to hear from anyone who saw a mid-90s dark grey Toyota Corona or people in the River Road area between 10 p.m. on September 2nd and 7 a.m. on September 3rd. Ōreki will be laid to rest with her great-grandparents, whānau and tupuna, at Mutua Pai Island, Huria Tauranga, Moana and Tauranga. It's just unbelievable to me. So this wasn't long after it happened, of course, the funeral. I'm trying to find a date for you, but I'm not finding one, which is really weird. So I can't tell you the date because I can't find it. So let's just keep moving. This is the nzherald.co.nz. Teens cruel murder, police confident of catching those who killed Ōreki Rigby. That photo is just so beautiful. More than 2 months on from the grisly and belated find of the body of teenager Ōreki Rigby in a burnt-out car, police say they are confident those responsible will face justice. So this sounds promising. On September 5, a dog walker discovered the body of the 18-year-old in a car that had been parked up there. We know that 2 days earlier. So the police initially attended on the scene on September 3rd, but did not identify remains, which, by the way, had shoulder length hair and a necklace, as human. Despite repeated calls for information from police and Ōreki's traumatised family, those who committed the crime, which has been described as cruel by her sister, remain at large. I don't know if I can think of the words, but cruel just doesn't seem to like cut it. I feel like we need another horrific. Oh, another word, you know what I mean? But Investigation Boss Detective Inspector Dave DeLonghi said, I think I just read this, he was hopeful that the killer or killers would be found. Police are continuing to make good progress as we investigate the tragic death of Ariki Rigby, he said. For operational reasons, we are not in a position to comment on specific details at this stage of the investigation. And I tell you what, if I have to just not get any details to protect the integrity of the case, then I'm fine with that. While some investigations can be more complex than others, police are confident that we will identify and hold to account the person or persons responsible for Ariki's death. DeLonghi said police are keeping Rigby's family fully updated as the investigation continues into its third month. The investigation team was still working through a large amount of information and piecing together the events leading up to Ariki's death. We continue to encourage anyone with information to come forward and thank those that have already, he said. Because of the nature of this investigation, DeLonghi said he could not comment specifically on a raft of questions the Herald put to him. They included whether officers thought Rigby had been killed by one person or multiple people, how many potential suspects had been identified, if the homicide was gang-related, and whether people were protecting those responsible, including helping them evade being caught by the police. He wouldn't be drawn on how many officers were actively working on the case either, so police being really, really tight-lipped at this stage, but that's fine. DeLonghi also wouldn't comment on the review relating to the handling of the initial inspection of the burned car when officers missed the charred body inside. It was human. The Herald previously revealed the officers thought the remains were of an animal. It wasn't until a dog walker rang them again 2 days later, horrified to discover the body had shoulder length hair and was wearing a necklace. The police launched an unexplained death investigation. The dog walker also said Rigby had multiple bones and breaks and fractures. During an emotional appeal where she urged those who knew who killed Rigby and knew where they are, her older sister, Anahita Rigby, told the Herald she believed the team was beaten to death before being dumped in the car. She would not have stayed in the car while it burned, she said of her sister, adding she was a very determined person. I said that to the police too. I told them she must have already been dead before they torched the car. But Anahita Rigby believed her sister would have fought for her life. She was disgusted at the actions of her sister's killers. To me, that is cruel, Anahita said. My baby sister didn't deserve to die like that. Even if she wasn't my sister, nobody deserves to die like that. Beaten up, shoved in the back of a car, and then torched and left there. And I agree with her. I don't care who you are. You don't deserve to die like that. You don't deserve to die, full stop, of course, but they tried to cover it up and get rid of all the evidence, and now they're walking around free. She also urged those who knew the truth to contact authorities, saying her sister's killers were dangerous people who needed to face justice. When asked what her message was to those who know who did it, she replied, "Not to hide them anymore. People know something. They do, and they are just too scared to say who they are and what they've done. Maybe they love these people and they don't want to turn them in, but they need to remember that those people are dangerous. They took a little girl's life. She was only 18 years old. She had her whole life in front of her. Our community isn't safe with them walking around. Even if they are your family or your friends, they could do it again." Ariki was born and raised in Hawke's Bay and had lived in Auckland for the past year. She was killed during an unplanned holiday back to Napier. She was going to go and see our little brother in King Country, but he wasn't home, Anna Hedda said, so she changed her mind and went to Hawke's Bay instead. She spent a month in Hawke's Bay. That very day that they did this to her, she was supposed to come home, she said. She even put a status on Facebook that she was coming home and whoever wanted to come and visit her to see her before she left for Auckland. And this is one of the leaflets that her family have been putting around. Family members have been proactive in trying to uncover information that could lead to arrests, including putting up flyers around Hastings and Flaxmere. The A4 sheets of paper feature two photos of Ariki with the message, "Any information on Ariki's Rigby's death would be much appreciated. Family want and deserve closure. We won't rest until we do. We'll find out who did this to our girl. You didn't deserve this." The flyers include Crime Stoppers tip line, where anonymous tips can be made, and that will be in the description box below with everything else. I implore you to ring that number. Let's go now to the nzherald.co.nz. And this is 4th of April 2023, so not that long ago. The sister of murdered teen Ariki Rigby says her siblings' hands and feet were severed before she was set alight in a car found abandoned at a remote reserve. Almost 7 months on from the gruesome discovery of the 18-year-old's body by a dog walker, police have made no arrests but told the Herald the investigation is in a sensitive stage. The burnt-out vehicle was found at River Road Recreational Reserve in early September last year on the outskirts of Havelock North. The teenager's body was initially mistaken, as we know, we don't need to read that again. In a revealing interview on YouTube with The Fallon Show, Arika's sister Anna Hedda said her sister's body had been dismembered. "You know, they do say that she had broken bones. I suppose, she said, they forgot to mention she also had her feet and hands cut off," she said. She also revealed that she believed Ariki might have ended up a missing person had the walker not turned into their spiritual side or tuned into their spiritual side and followed a sense there was something more to the burnt out wreck. She claimed her slain sister was struggling with mental health issues and suffered from anxiety, but was going to church meetings and praying regularly was helping her gain confidence. "I didn't realise a lot of things started happening in her life. She didn't share trauma things. My sister and I fell out of the church, as you do. She just started falling off again. The evil one was really hammering at my sister and he was doing the same to me too." So they sound like they're definitely a very religious or at least spiritual family. The 18-year-old was killed during a holiday to visit relatives, including her father in Hawke's Bay, where she grew up. Rigby's last memory of her sister was when she was in the driveway on her way to Hastings. "The last memory I have is of her walking out my doors and jumping in her car. The window won't go up, so I had to put a rubbish bag over it. It was raining. That was a sign she shouldn't go anywhere." And that's a Kiwi thing to do if your window won't go up, just grab a trash bag and some masking tape and chuck it on there. "No worries, mate. I was begging her to stay, but she didn't want to. I kept trying to tell her to stay. She wanted to go to Hastings and I told her you got beaten up there, so she must have had trouble there before." Rigby said she was afraid for her to go back there, but she went back and I told her to make sure she goes to Dad's and see him. She said he saw her for the first week, but then she ended up at a friend's place. After that, her sister was unreachable and she was unable to get in contact with her, she said. Rigby earlier said she believed the sisters' killers were gang affiliated. The family was able to get into Areke's social media account while still looking for her before the grisly discovery, Rigby said. Now, this is a bit weird. My sister was going to meet up with somebody, saying things like, "Should I bring my shotgun? I don't care, just kill me, dog. I'm exhausted as if was fuck, just kill me." Real odd. The family had also met the person who found the body, Rigby said. I'm glad. The police were going to get that car towed and crushed had that person who found her didn't find her in time. The walker, who is in touch with his spiritual side, his wairua, he said he heard the sister, she was talking to him, screaming at him, and then he started having a conversation with my sister. Rigby said her sister's body was shoved under the driver's car seat and the hands and feet were not with the body. As much as they could get her under there, so most of her body was under there, but it was burned. We were so grateful that they found her, otherwise she would have been forever declared a missing person. They had done a lot to her. I found out so much about her. In the lead up to Christmas, police said they believed possible witnesses to Ariki's homicide investigations were not coming forward due to the potential gang affiliations of those thought to be responsible. The car, which Ariki's body had been shoved into, was taken to the River Road either late in the night on September 2nd, 2022, or early in the morning on September 3rd, it was then set alight. The burnt-out car was reported to police on September 3rd, but attending officers didn't realise the charred remains were inside. The car remained there for a further 2 days before the dog walker realised there was a body and it was human, and urged police to return to the scene. The dog walker revealed Areke had suffered multiple bone breaks and fractures, but I don't know about whether, it's just awful. Yesterday, a police spokesman said the investigation was at a sensitive stage and they were continuing to make progress, so were unable to comment further. On December 22nd, a couple of days before Christmas, police made a further appeal for information about Areke's homicide. Detective Senior Sergeant James Keane said police believed gang affiliations of those thought to be responsible were preventing possible witnesses from passing on vital information. "We know there are people in our community who know what happened to Areke and who was responsible," Keane said. "We also know there are a few reasons why people might not be talking, one of which is a belief that narking is not the done thing. My plea is that people set aside that belief and focus on what the right thing to do is." The distraught sister warned that our streets aren't safe until those responsible were located. "We just hope that they find them all, the offenders, because she was only 18. A little girl, she was loved. She had a family that loved her." And you can see extremely clearly that she has family that absolutely do love her. Okay, let's go to newzealandherald.co.nz, 15th of April. If I play this without sound, I should not get a copyright strike. Oh, she was beautiful. Looks like she really had a good sense of humour and liked to have a bit of fun as well. But she's absolutely stunning. I can already tell that she's really family orientated as well. She's got a big family, big whānau. And you can tell from all the whānau speaking and showing their love about how many love her. Now, this is at her funeral, and this is that haka And the amazing thing is, look at all the people coming to the funeral. I don't know what you call people in a funeral. Participants in the funeral are all up there doing a haka as well, which is absolutely amazing. Very breathtaking. And if this last picture doesn't make you sad, I don't know what will, to be honest. Ariki Rigby's sister believes the teen's brutal murder, which included having her hands and feet cut off, was a result of drugs and jealousy. And the dead youth's sister also believes police are getting closer to catching those responsible. Ariki was killed in September at just the age of 18. Her heartbroken sister, Anahita Rigby, previously told the Herald she believed the killers were several gang-affiliated people. And police have stated they believe gang affiliations of those thought to be responsible had prevented possible witnesses from passing on vital information. When asked if she believed the motive for the crime was that Ariki had upset the wrong person, Anahita replied, "That and drugs. I believe that she was either doing them or selling them. And to me, she still deserves this video, whether she was selling them or doing them." Police launched a homicide investigation in early September. Ariki was born and bred in Hawke's Bay and lived in Auckland, where Anahita and their mother also lived. Ariki had a job in Auckland, working in a city bar. She was also living in an apartment in the city. She had returned to Hawke's Bay to see families and friends. Anahita believes her sister was killed on the day she was planning on returning to Auckland. Anahita, sorry, said her sister was forthright in her opinions and backed herself and believed that could have contributed to her death. She let people know what she thought of herself, but in a way that probably hurt. She was probably upping herself to them and downing them, she said. I really do think part of it was jealousy. Even though I am answering that question and saying jealousy and drugs, I'm still sitting here thinking, well, that is not enough to do something so horrible to somebody. That's so horrible to do to anybody. It's somebody's daughter, it's somebody's sister, somebody's aunt, I imagine. Anahita said if her belief was true, then it showed those who were responsible were truly messed up. It was 2 days later, after the car had initially been alerted to by the police, the day the car was set to be taken away to a crushing yard, that police realized the remains were human, having been told to return to the scene by a dog walker who inspected the wreck at the reserve and saw the sheep had shoulder length hair and was wearing a necklace. The dog walker, Kevin, told the Herald it was clear whoever had been shoved in the back of the car had multiple bone fractures. So it seems like Kevin, thank goodness for Kevin, calling the police and actually taking a look, but it looks like he had a good look. Anahita revealed earlier this month that her sister's hands and feet had also been cut off and discarded. She said she was contacted by the investigation team on Friday and told the homicide probe was going well. Some members of the Rigby family have previously spoken about their frustrations over no one being charged over Ariki's death yet. It has been 7 months and they are trying to make sure that they get every single person that was involved. They have to try them all together, not one by one, when they have caught them one by one, Anahita said. They weren't able to clarify any details, but we did have a good conversation that the investigation was going very well and explained why it had taken so long. But I do have to say, in the big scheme of things, I know that 7 months is a long time not knowing anything, but there are cases that I've covered where they've been waiting for years, so it can take a long time. They have to make sure the facts are right for court, so when they are all tried in court, they are all put away. A police spokesperson told the Herald they couldn't comment on Anahita's claims about what she believes was the motive for the murder, but they confirmed they were committed to holding the person or persons responsible for Ariki's death to account. At the moment, our focus remains on the active investigation into Ariki's death. This includes analysis of all evidence to date, the spokesperson said. We reiterate that the investigation remains at a sensitive stage and we are continuing to make progress. Now this is really, really cool. Meanwhile, family members of Ariki and missing Brianna Murawai, and I've done a video on her. She was last seen on the Kapiti coast on August 28. They have united to organise a march in Wellington on June 1st to raise awareness of missing persons and unresolved cases. And I think that is absolutely amazing to do because there is not enough. I mean, when I post some videos, people say to me, I've never even heard that case. And in fact, it's said all the time, I didn't even know this case. But all these cases go unsolved and under the radar, and it's time people are looking at them. I'm going to have information about this on my Facebook page. Shirts are being produced for sale with the words Justice for Ariki and Aroha for Ariki. If you're not aware, Aroha is the Maori name for love. Funds from their sale, as well as air fresheners and mugs branded Justice for Ariki, will go towards paying for Ariki's unveiling and a memorial wake. A Give a Little page has also been created to raise funds for Ariki's sister's plans. I want to do things for Ariki, she said. It's very important for the family and what I want to achieve. And this is the Give a Little fund here. I'm not sure if they're getting to a specific number, but they're at $1,323. So, as we know, in the description box, I'm going to have all the sources, links to this Give a Little page. I'm going to have links to, if you can help my channel out and make a small donation, there's PayPal links and other links in there. There's links to the website, YouTube, Facebook, all those things. But share this around because somebody needs to be held accountable. I know that people are scared. I know that. But this family deserve justice. Crime Stoppers 0800 555 111. File number 220905/1265. I'm going to end this. Please share this around as much as you can. Let's get some exposure. I want this under the nose of the people that did it. And I want them annoyed and frustrated enough that someone's going to come forward and say something. That's what I want. So thank you very much for listening to me. And unfortunately, there'll be another one. And I will see you on that one. Bye, guys.